Hey, Madman.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, brother. Hey, are you focused as we get into this interview?
I am.
Look, I took my Magic Mind supplement as soon as I got into the studio this morning, and I'm focused and ready to go.
Yeah, I took mine this morning as well. It's awesome.
Good. So, as you and I were talking, you and I are both, we take mushroom supplements, and they use, their mushrooms are sourced right out of California.
Cool.
Yeah. So, and they're backed by 200, independent studies with, physicians. So this is a very healthy supplement to add to your, your daily routine. And something
that's why I like you.
That's right. And something that I was looking into this and something that they're doing now that I really, really like, and this gets into our 2025 goals of being generous, is 5 cents of each bottle sold, they're donating to the mental health charities to help U.S. homeless communities. Did you know that?
I did not, but that is awesome.
So, as you and I have decided, we're going to take some of the money that we make off of the show, and we're going to help, people in need. That's why we're partnering with people like Magic Mind. I really like that. So for anybody out there that's listening to the show, we would challenge you, if you want to invest in your mental clarity in 2025, get into Magic Mind, and, every sale that they make is you're helping the homeless community. And if you're interested to give it a try, you can click on our link in the show notes, Nevermore 20, and you will get 48% off of your first subscription, or 20%.
Man, that's a deal.
Yeah, or 20% off of a one-time purchase. You can't beat it. Give it a shot. Do it for a week, and then I'm telling you, you're going to see a difference.
You are correct, sir. They are awesome.
Excellent. All right. Well, look, now that we're focused, now that we're ready to go, let's get into the interview.
Let's go.
All right. Hello, all you Nevermore Hollow Psychos. This is Lafayette Faust, and I'm here tonight to present another episode of True Tales from Nevermore Hollows. With me, I have Chris Madman Goins, and we have a special guest that Madman and I met up in Ohio at a Bigfoot conference a few weeks back. And little did we know that we would become such close friends with this man. His name is John, and he has a number of really interesting paranormal experiences that he wants to share with us. He also has a show on TikTok, and he's just now moved over to YouTube. So anybody who would be willing to check his YouTube stuff out, we'll leave links in the show that you can do that, and also his TikTok. But while he may have a comedic character, the stories you're going to hear tonight are true stories. So to get started, I want to welcome John to True Tales of Nevermore Hollows. Welcome, John.
How's it going?
It's going good. Chris, good, man. It's how good. Are you tonight?
It's after work. I'm good.
Good. So, John, if you would, just tell us a little bit about yourself, whatever you feel comfortable with telling us personally, and then tell us about your show.
Yeah. My name is John. I grew up in Ohio. I currently live in Indiana. I run a TikTok that is 99% comedy and about 1% right now paranormal. I play a character named John Cougar Hunter Methenkamp, and the best way to describe him is a ladies man that's stuck in the 80s, has a mullet, and there's this whole backstory about what a cougar hunter is and what a cougar hunter does. But about 6 months ago, I started doing live streams on TikTok in the woods while we were camping. And I started just asking people if they've had paranormal encounters. And mm-hmm. it kind of blossomed. And now mm-hmm. I do 2 weekly shows on TikTok, Sunday night and Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time, where you can come in, tell your paranormal encounters, and it's all live. It's unscripted. I literally sit down in front of the camera. I have nothing on my paper until you come in right. and tell your story. I take notes. We do back and forth. And yeah, and then every once in a while, John Mettenkamp slips into the picture and I crack a few jokes, but yeah. It's been a wild ride for about the last 2 months.
Well, you know, it's a great show. Look, I love the comedy portion of it. I mean, I love this paranormal, obviously that's what I love, but I also love comedy. And I got to say, for the folks who are listening, when I met you, we were, like I say, we were at this Bigfoot Jamboree in Ada, Ohio, a little bitty Mayberry style town. Literally yep. It could be Nevermore Hollows, that town could be. And you walked up to my booth. Okay. So I was sitting there helping my son. Chris and I had booths together. We had tents there with our stuff, and Chris was selling art, and I was over here trying to promote the show, and my son was with me, and he was selling his comic book, which is Mighty Snail Comic Books. I'll leave a link for that as well. But you and your wife walked up to me, and you were full on in character. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I talked for just a moment with you, and when you walked away, I went, because, you know, I wasn't able to focus as much as I would have wanted to in that conversation, because I was, you know, do all this other stuff. But when you walked away, I went, oh my God, that is a Nevermore Hollows character, if I've ever seen a Nevermore Hollows character. And I was like, I already had started going, you know, I wasn't going to steal your idea, but I already, you know, there's something gestating about a guy similar to you. And I was like, I need to reach out to this guy. I didn't know you were a character. You just told me, all you told me was, you said, go to my TikTok. And man, I'm on TikTok. And your wife was like, yeah, go to the TikTok. And she gave me how to get there. But I thought that was just you. And then after watching you on TikTok, I was like, dude, this guy's hysterical. And then I saw your live show on TikTok. And I was like, what is going on here? That's a totally, it was like you were bipolar or something. You had a totally different vibe. And I'm like, dude, this guy's an intelligent man. He's not this Yahoo who's running around doing the cryptid hunter thing. But anyway, so you and I get to talk, and you and Chris had already been talking, and we get to talking, and I realized, dude, you are an awesome guy. So that's why we wanted to have you on the show. You've been kind enough to have me and Chris on your show a number of times. Yep. But anyway, so let's get into, I'll let you start wherever you want to, because you've had you've told me and Chris a number of things, and you had one situation recently that was pretty, you know, jarring in your life that happened. So whether you want to start with that one or you want to tell that one later, I don't care. Let's just get into, tell us a little bit about some of your paranormal experiences.
Okay. Well, up until 2021, I had an interest in the paranormal, you know, just a, you know, I like watching the shows, you know, ghost hunters, Bigfoot, whatever, but I never really gave it much credence, you know, like, okay, that's cool. But I enjoyed watching these shows. Well, after the pandemic, I had lost my job during that, and I started a new job, and the guys I worked with, they actually had done some little ghost hunts. You know, they would go to people's houses that said it was haunted, and they would get EVPs, things like that. So we get to talking, and we're like, you know, we should go. There's a right down the road from me is the Randolph County Infirmary, and it's been featured on a lot of the ghost hunting shows, things like that. And I'm like, you know, it'd be cool if we just went in there and did a ghost hunt, just like we see on TV, you know? And so we got a group, we we actually first we called and we found out how much it is to rent this place for a night. And we're like, okay, we got to split this up because it was like $600 for the night.
Wow.
And, but we got it from, I think it was 6 o'clock in the evening till 9 o'clock the next morning. So we get, I think there were 10 of us, got 10 guys from work and our spouses. Those that have spouses. So it ended up, we were able to break it down and we charged everybody like $50. We ordered pizzas and stuff like that. And, you know, we all just met there and it was going to be a good time. We bought some cameras off of Amazon, some audio recorders. We got one of those spirit boxes like you see on Ghost Adventures. What did we have? What do you call it? Measures the electromagnetic EMF detector.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to say it out loud before I knew what EMF was. and then we had some apps that we downloaded on our phones and stuff like that. So I think we had total, I think we had 7 digital cameras and then we had 5 of the old cassette style VHS video recorders, you know, like that nobody's used in 20 years.
Yeah.
But we thought, you know, maybe using some of those older cameras, they might pick up on something that digital cameras would just filter out. So we go, it was April 2nd of 2021. Like I said, I think there was 18, might have been 18 or 20 of us that went. A little backstory on Randolph County Infirmary. It was built in 1851. The first building was. It burned down in 1857. They rebuilt it. It started falling down. So they rebuilt it again in 1899. And this thing is 58,000 square feet.
Ooh, it's, that's a big place.
It's yeah, huge. It's got a base. Yeah, it's got a basement, a full basement. The front of it is like where the director, whatever you want to call him, the guy who, the family who ran the farm.
Yeah,
that's where they lived. And then and behind that you had a full basement, 2 levels of like rooms for housing the indigent people that lived there. That's what they called them. Uh-huh. And then an attic. So this place is massive. And so we get there according to the history of it, there was like 500 people that died while living there because it was open from 1851 to 2006. I had to look all this up.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, the fact that it kept burning down so many times early on, something didn't want it to be there.
Yeah. Well, I was looking into that when it was first built, it was all stick built and they had wood heat and that's what burned it down the first time. And then the second time it was just poorly made and the county finally came in, looked at it and said, yeah, this isn't good. So they ended up rebuilding it to what it is now. That building has stood since 1899. But yeah, and then it was opened, or it was stayed open until 2006. So, you know, and a lot of the people that were sent there, some people call it Randolph County Asylum, mm-hmm. which it was more infirmary. Yeah. People were sent there that, you know, their families just couldn't take care of, you know, or, you know, didn't have the money to take care of. One of the things they told us was that there was a woman there who had got kicked in the head by a mule when she was 12 years old and her family just couldn't take care of her, you know, and she lived there from the time she was 12 until I think she was, if I remember right, she was like one of the last people that was there. So, you know, yeah. So, I mean, that's the type. And then you had, you know, mentally ill, you know, people with physical impairments, you know, things like that, that they were just sent there because their families couldn't take care of. So anyway,
when I've looked into that kind of stuff in the past, you know, I've not looked into, you know, that one specifically, but they were almost always poorly run, underfunded, and people were just as worse off than if they'd just stayed with their family. So I imagine that the conditions there were probably similar. Do you know if that's the case?
Yes. Originally, I just, like I said, I looked this stuff up. When it originally started, the family that ran the farm, it was 350 acres. And the state had basically given them this, I think it was three people to take care of, and the state paid them. Well, they basically used them as slave labor. They would give them out to their neighbors to do work and stuff like that. And the state finally come in and said, you know, look, Indiana was a free state, so it was bordering on slavery is what they were doing.
Right.
So that's when they stepped in and they built the first infirmary in 1857. And then it was more state run at that point.
Gotcha.
But then after that, you know, the people that stayed there, they had to earn their keep. You know, they had jobs, they cleaned, they cooked, they worked in the fields, took care of the animals, things like that. So they earned their keep there. So it's still, you can still kind of say it was almost slave labor, basically.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, all right. So go right ahead.
So that's the history of it. But, so my wife and I, she has a really nice, like, digital camera. And we wanted to make sure before we went that all the, you know, the batteries were all good. I had done tests on the cameras that I had to find out how long they would run on a single charge. You know, I knew all that stuff going in. So when you get there, they take you on a little tour. Well, before the tour, we took a bunch of pictures outside the infirmary and then during the tour. Brand new batteries right out of the pack. And we got like, I don't know, probably 15 to 20 pictures outside. And I think 10 pictures inside and the batteries died.
Oh, ooh, interesting.
Okay.
There's no way that these brand new batteries are only going to take 20 or 30 pictures and die.
All right.
Well, you know, that's kind of classic ghost, you know, haunted, you know, problems where it drains that energy from batteries and such. So, all right. So that's all right. So I see where you're headed. So go ahead.
Yeah. So that was kind of the first weird thing that happened. And, you know, I'm still skeptical at this point. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it was bad batteries. Maybe we got an old pack, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It was just odd. So we do our tour and everybody kind of goes around for a little bit and, you know, checks the place out. Well, one of the things, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Estes experiment.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that? Yeah.
Yep.
We had seen it. My buddy and I, we had seen it on the show, Hellier. We're like, we should do that while we're there. Cause we thought that, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Living and, on the edge right there, man.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing.
So that was the first thing we decided to do after everybody just kind of did their little tour. We decided to do it in the basement, and it was in the room that was used as the morgue. There happened to be a table set up in there and and some chairs. So we're like, this is where we're going to do this Estes experiment.
Of course.
So I mean, why not? You know, they're like, hey, it worked on the shows. If it works on the shows, it's got to work for us.
Yeah.
So
and you might as well start at the morgue, right? Because if there's nothing in the morgue, right, there's nothing anywhere else in that place.
Exactly.
Well, we had thought about doing it in this other room that it had shackles on the walls where they had actually used it to restrain people. But we didn't want to move the table and chairs. So it's like this is more convenient in the morgue. And in fact, it still had like the cooler where they left the people before what you call it, processing them. But so we set it up. We've got people with headlamps on. We had them turn pretty dim because we wanted it to be spooky.
Right.
I had set up my digital IR camera on a tripod facing across the table at the chair where we were going to do these Estes experiments. My wife was running that camera, and we had, I think, three other cameras in the room at the time.
Uh-huh.
So my one buddy, he says he wants to go first.
So if I can interject here for some folks that may not know what an Estes experiment is, if you can give us just a brief description so that everybody's on the same page. So go ahead.
Right. So if you've ever watched Ghost Adventures, because we bought the exact same spirit box that they use on Ghost Adventures, and they actually tell you how to modify it so it does exactly what they do. And the main thing is taking the antenna off of it so you don't pick up as many radio stations. So the spirit box just sweeps through the radio stations, and it's thought that spirits can manipulate that to produce words, to answer questions, mm-hmm. or to speak, mm-hmm. basically. Well, the other part of, and when they do that, you know, if you got the spirit box going, and you're asking questions, you know, like, I don't know, is John in the room? And it's sweeping through, and then you hear something that kind of sounds like, yes, I'm here, or something like that. Wait, you got confirmation of the question you ask. So what the Estes experiment does is you plug headphones into that.
Yeah.
And then you put a blindfold on. So the person listening to the headphones, and we had Turtle Beach headphones, the real good gaming headphones, the sound canceling.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So when you put these headphones on with that spirit box, you can't hear anything except for what's coming out of that spirit box.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we put a blindfold on, and it's dark already. So you can't see what anybody's saying. You can't read lips. You can't do, you know, there's no cues to what everybody else in the room is asking.
Right.
So when you got people asking questions, the person that's listening is supposed to just say whatever they hear. And oddly enough, it does kind of work, but we'll get into that. So that's briefly what the Estes experiment is. We had decided that each person was going to do 15 minutes doing the experiment. And for the first set, we had three people, my one buddy, two of my buddies, and myself.
Yeah.
So the first guy gets up there. We set it up. He turns it on. And we're all just asking questions, you know, and he's just sitting there. Literally just sitting there. And we're like, okay, yeah, this isn't working, you know, for whatever reason this isn't working. But everybody was in agreement in the room. Hey, we agreed to 15 minutes, you know, let's not cut him short, you know, let him have his experience. We keep asking questions. And when I look back at the audio from all this, I did pick up some EVPs during this. We can get into that later.
Cool.
But so he's just sitting there, and all of a sudden he's sitting there and he starts swaying like back and forth. And then he starts breathing really heavy.
Yeah.
And we are just sitting there like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And then he screams, "I'm dead."
Oh, whoa. Crap. Okay.
And yeah. So, and he's sobbing. He starts sobbing, crying.
Well, I was going to ask you, how do you know he wasn't just playing you guys? I mean, it's already scary, even if he was, but the fact that he's crying, that's a real emotion.
Yeah.
Right. And at first we thought he was just screwing with us.
Right.
My other buddy walks over to him, pulls the blindfold and headphones off of him. And this grown man has tears running down his face. You know, he is sobbing.
Wow.
So we're like, okay. My one buddy does a little prayer over him, kind of cleanses the room. You know, you have no power here, whatever. You know, if you've attached yourself to, I'm not going to mention their names because I haven't talked to them before this. Right. So, you have no permission to, you know, be with him or whatever. Okay. So this guy's wife was there and she takes him upstairs to calm him down.
Uh-huh.
And we're all just like, okay, what just happened? You know? And come to find out later, he told us that he started the experiment. And when I put the headphones on, I realized he had the sweep pattern way too fast. So basically all he was hearing was straight white noise, static.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when I heard it, this is before he came downstairs, I heard it and I took him off. I'm like, I bet he put himself in a trance.
I started to say, you know? 15 minutes of white noise like that can put you in some sort of altered state.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm thinking, okay, he put himself in a trance, you know, that's what happened. So later we ask him, you know, what happened? And he says, he put on the headphones and that he agreed that, you know, he was listening to this white noise and it started messing with his mind.
Yeah.
And then he said in his mind, he was walking down the hallway to get to the room we were in.
Uh-huh.
And he said he felt like he walked for like 2 hours.
Wow.
And finally he finds the room and he walks in and he sees himself sitting in the chair with the headphones on, with the blindfold on, with all of us sitting around him.
So that's an out-of-body experience.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. So he thought he had died and was having this out of body experience. So that's why he screamed that. Yeah.
Huh.
So,
well, I mean, I can understand why he would scream that then. I mean, what do you think about all this, madman? That's right out of the gate. First experiment for these guys is shocking.
Well, that experiment is, you know, kind of like sensory deprivation.
Uh-huh.
And it's freaky when I've seen it done where people are just, you know, they're saying whatever they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, that's just, I can't figure that one out. That's crazy. The fact that he saw himself sitting there with everybody around him. That freaked me out too. I'd lose it. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so him and his wife are up in the director's area, whatever. That's what we're using for like our command center. You know, we had all of our batteries charging and, you know, all of our gear and our pizza. 'Cause you know, that was the important part.
Of course.
So,
hard to beat them.
Right. You know, so anyway, they're up there and my buddy's like, John, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, I want to do this. So I put the headphones on. That's when I realized, hey, this sweep pattern is way too fast. You know, this isn't going to work. So I adjust it and I do the Estes experiment. And, you know, I heard words, I repeated them. We had one battery die. No, it didn't die until the third guy did it.
Uh-huh. So, but before we get there, I want to make sure you said you heard words and you called them out, which is what you're supposed to do. Because so, just to recap, you can't hear what everybody else in the room is asking. You're just here. If you hear a word, you're spitting it out. So, what did that sound like to you? Was it, you know, because if I imagine they're static, and you literally hear a clear word, is it present in your mind, in your ears, or is it a distance, you know, like what you see on TV and in the movies where it's, you know, you can barely hear it? Flesh that out a little bit for us.
So basically it's like if you scan through your radio station really fast, mm-hmm. or your radio stations, as it gets to each radio station, you might hear one word, you know, it might be from a right. commercial, you might hear a little bit of music. You might hear somebody singing or whatever, but right. at the rate it's going, you about have about one word's worth is all you're going to hear, you know?
Okay. Yeah. So what I was imagining was all we're hearing is white noise and you're hearing a word. That's not what was going on.
No, it's like,
it's like if you've got your radio in your car on scan.
Right.
But really,
really fast. I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop at each radio station. You know, it like hits it and goes, hits it and goes, hits it and goes, hits it and goes. And it just continues all the way through and just loops.
All right. So I got you. So that's why you were saying now you adjusted it back so that the oscillation there was much narrower so that it wasn't so broad, like all he heard was the white noise. I got you now. I'm caught up. Cool. All right. So I was running a little bit behind there. So go ahead.
So I did have words come through and I went back. I had to go through all this footage because apparently out of the 20 people that was there, I was the only one with audio and video editing software. So yeah. I did all of it by myself. It took me months. But anyway, I did mine. My wife was taking notes. I had done tests on my cameras 48 hours before that. Each battery lasted about an hour and a half on the digital cameras. They're cheap ones, okay? I'm poor.
Welcome to the club, man.
Right.
So what I forgot to mention was when the first guy did it, he was supposed to go 15 minutes. At roughly the 10 minute mark is when he screamed, "I'm dead."
Okay.
Wow. We'd let the cameras run for maybe a minute or two more, and then we're like, okay, let's shut down for a second and figure out what we're doing. Well, then I start. I do it for 15 minutes. So let's say we're at 30 minutes right now. The third guy does it. He does it for, I want to say 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And the battery dies on the camera. So
yeah, something clearly draining all that energy. Yeah.
Right. So grab another camera real quick and finish the experiment with him. So I go back through all the footage and the audio and everything else. And when the third guy did it, he said, I want to say he said the number 32. I'd have to go back and look at the video again. He said the number 32. And dies. So then just a few seconds later, the camera dies.
Okay.
When I go back and look at this and I time it, whatever number he said, it was 30 something. That's how many seconds it was before that camera died.
Wow. That's clearly, yeah, that's almost like, that's clearly some sort of interaction letting you know I'm in the room right. and I'm going to do something. I'm going to reveal myself. Okay.
Yes. I didn't catch that though at the time. I didn't catch that timing thing until I went back through the video. In the heat of the moment, you know, it was like, oh crap, this camera's dying. I'm not even really paying attention to what he's saying. But the other thing, when I did my Estes experiment, I said female intruder with child in that order.
Okay.
At that same time, like I said, I can't hear what's going on outside these headphones. That guy and his wife walked back in.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And so when I'm going back through this video, it's several weeks later, I go to this guy at work and I'm like, hey, I don't want to be personal, but is your wife pregnant? And all the color leaves his face. He goes, why? And I tell him, you know, when you walked in, I said, female intruder with child. And he said, at that time, she was pregnant, but she lost the baby.
Mm.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's creepy.
Right. Right. So that was our Estes experiments that were freaky.
So clearly some entity informed you while you were blindfolded that a woman walked in and she was with child. Nobody knew that she was with child at that moment in that group until later when you discovered that and you asked about it.
Correct. Wow. Correct. Okay. And just a little note, well, Myths, Monsters, and Mullets. I didn't even mention that earlier. That's the name of my show, Myths, Monsters, and Mullets.
Okay.
If you go to the YouTube channel, I am currently working on, I have all this stuff on video from this investigation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be uploading that hopefully early next year because there's a lot of this investigation. And all this stuff that I'm telling you is going to be included on it. So there's video to back this stuff up.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Yeah.
Can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Like I said, I went through, I want to say there was 14 cameras, four or five audio recorders, and we were there for 9 hours. And I went through all of it by myself.
So now I heard you on the other podcast, you were talking about how many different cameras, how many different hours you had to go through. That's independently. You had to go through each set of footage by itself, set it aside, deal with it however you were dealing with it, and get the next piece of footage. You were the only guy. Dude, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But the fact that you did, that's how you caught some of this stuff.
Yeah, man.
Right. Right. I had an audio program. And it put everything into a wave pattern. So when I put the audio through there, I could see little blips and I could, you know, zoom in on that, enhance it. And that's how I picked up a ton of EVPs. I'm not talking just one or two. There are a ton of them. One of them, it was during when we were walking through before we started doing any of these experiments, there was a previous resident who's also was named John. And this guy was thrown out of the second story window and died when his head hit the concrete.
Gee,
he was, yeah, he was cleaning his windows and some guys who didn't like him come in, grabbed his legs, threw him out the window.
Okay, so now how does that, where you're going with that, are you getting ready to tie that in with some of that EVP stuff that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Gotcha.
So I walk in the room and I'm like, John, my name is John too. And ask some other questions. When I go back through the audio, you can clearly hear somebody whisper John into the camera. Mm.
Okay.
Right after I say, hi, John, my name's John. And it says, John.
Are you in the room by yourself at that moment?
Go back and look. I think so. I think so.
Yeah.
There's so much footage, dude. I mean,
right. But either way, I mean, either way, you're there, you're in the room. You know, when you asked that, nobody leaned into the camera and said,
oh, absolutely not. No, no. You know, because I went in as the skeptic. I was the one there trying to debunk this stuff, you know, right. Because even though I had seen this out of body experience or whatever.
All right.
I'm still thinking he put himself in a trance. That doesn't mean it's paranormal. I hadn't gone back through the footage to see the part about the female intruder with child. I hadn't seen any of that yet. At this point, the only thing that I knew was two batteries died. You know, so you know, I'm still not thinking. I'm still not a believer at this point. I didn't believe in anything.
Right. And if I can say, one of the things that I was drawn to you when you're telling your stories is you come from that approach. You're not one of those guys that's just, this is true. This is what I've heard. You know, even when you are experiencing these things, you're trying to disprove it. And I'll say this, you know, we've talked about this offline, but for 20 years of my life in a former life, I was an investigator. And one of the things most investigators would walk in and they would go, there's John, there's a dead body. Therefore, I have to prove that John's the guy that killed the person because he's the one standing over the body. That is a terrible way to work an investigation. What you do is you come in and you go, okay, that's some pretty damning evidence that John is the murderer, but I'm going to do everything I can to prove John innocent. If I can't prove John innocent, then he's guilty. To fundamental ways to approach that, and you approach your paranormal experiences from that same mindset. That's why I was drawn to going, hey, I think this guy's legit. He's not just, you know, telling stories to be telling stories.
So with that being said,
you're in this asylum for, of course, you're going back after months of these happening, but you're basically, as you're finding out, you've not even been there very long yet. And you've already had a number of unexplainable experiences.
Okay. Right,
so right. Go ahead. All
right. So, this was April 2nd of 2021. It was still pretty cold here in Indiana, you know, a lot of the people that came with us were gone by midnight. They had their free pizza. They were cold, you know.
Right.
Hey, they walked around. They saw some weird stuff, you know.
Yeah.
They were done, you know. So I would say by midnight, that number's cut in half.
Right.
My wife was one of them. She's a wimp. No, actually, she had the summer before that, she had actually dislocated her ankle. So it was, her ankle was hurting, but she's a wimp.
So he's a brave man. If this ever got out, if my said that to my wife would beat me down right here on cameras.
She knows if she's in the room in every episode that I do of my show, and I make fun of her all the time. That's the way we are. We make fun of each other. She knows I'm just giving her crap.
Right.
So anyway, by the time half these people have left, we're getting a little more serious about it. And so after the first set of Estes experiments, everybody's like, okay, we want to do some more, but we want to do them up in the attic. Well, I'm like, we've got way too many freaking people in the room. Even if we've got audio recorders going, you know, there's no way to know if this is an EVP or if it's just somebody whispering to somebody else.
Right.
So I'm like, you guys go up to the attic. I'm going to stay in the basement and I'm going to do a solo investigation. That way they're three floors up from me. You know, I'm not going to hear any conversations from them. It's just going to be me. So I walk around in the basement. I go to these different rooms asking questions. I've got my audio recorder. Well, one of the places that they were specific about in our tour was the kitchen and the hallway leading into the kitchen. You know, that's where they say they have a lot of their paranormal activity. And a specific woman, and it's one I mentioned earlier, was the one who got kicked in the head by the mule. Her name was Doris. Yes, that was the one thing that she could do, was she could work in the kitchen. And she loved it. That's where she spent all of her time. This Doris was supposedly, might be able to get that out eventually, supposedly still active in this kitchen after it's closed. I go in the kitchen and it's still set up. It's still got that. The stove isn't there, but the hood's there. All the countertops are stainless steel. They're still in there. The freezer's still in there. About the only thing that wasn't in there was a refrigerator or a stove, but it's got a ceiling fan in there, and hanging from the ceiling fan, you know, on the strings, somebody at some point had put a feather.
Okay.
So I point my camera at that feather and I'm like, okay, look, I've seen some weird things tonight. Still don't have me convinced. But if you can move that feather, I'm going to believe. The feather didn't move.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, make a noise, you know, talk to me, something. So I knock on the stainless steel counter. I'm like, make a noise like that. And within, I would say 4 or 5 seconds in the adjoining room, there's a metallic bang.
Oh, wow.
So you hear me. Well, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. in the video, you know, my default setting is comedy. You know, I laugh at everything. Right. So when this happens, you hear me laugh. And it's not because I think it's funny or whatever. It's like, oh, my God. I got a response, you know? Right. So I'm like, you know, I'm laughing. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I got that. So I walk into this other room and there's no ventilation. There's no metal tables. Yeah. There's nothing.
Huh?
So
you asked them to make a noise like that. Yeah. And they made a noise like that.
Right. And what makes it more profound is there was nothing in that room that could have made that noise that way.
Right. They didn't just knock. They made a noise like that.
Right.
So I go in that room and I'm like, okay, you got my attention.
Yeah.
You've almost got me. You've almost got me convinced.
Right.
Do it again. It does it again while I'm in the room.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, okay. All right. I believe.
Yeah,
I believe you now. I was in the room with it. I heard it.
And you were it's just you and the entity at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. All
right. You got no other thing that you can do but believe it at that moment.
Right. everybody else, and it's all, and that was all on video. Everybody else at the same time is up in the attic, three floors above me. You know, there was nobody else in that basement but me.
Right.
So I run and I find everybody. I'm like, you guys got to listen to this. You know, I had some crap happen down here. Mm-hmm.